Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And we're going to be talking about what's going on here in America, what's happening in China, what's happening in Europe, and how this is going to impact upon you and the future of this nation. Now, basically, if you have questions, of course, we always invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Certainly, we are reading about what's happened over there at Davos, and apparently there were some suggestions, and certainly the Mrs. Merkel, the Premier of Germany, and supported by Sarkozy of France, have suggested that they're not going to put up money to bail out the other European countries unless we get some sort of general agreement. One thing is, why, of course, so they're going to have to raise the age of retirement. Over there, they retire 58, 60 years of age, and they're very resistant to about not being able to retire at an early age and get full government benefits. And then they want to stop indexing the wages, keep growing every year because inflation stopped. So the indexing the wages to inflation. And then, of course, one of the biggest things that really has everybody upset, they don't want countries to be able to borrow so that they can pay their bills. In other words, what we're doing, we're having to borrow 43 cents on every dollar that we spend. We have to borrow here in the United States, and, of course, that's what they're doing over in Europe. They're borrowing to pay their debts. And Merkel and Sarkozy say you can't do that. And why, that's a terrible imposition. We ought to be free to just keep borrowing and borrowing and borrowing, and get more and more and more into debt. And so there's a very real question whether these countries will be willing to go along, even though that if they don't go along, the whole system comes crashing down, and then, of course, it'll have a profound impact on America. China's already beginning to raise their interest rates and cut back on the availability of money because they're facing an inflationary spiral. Of course, they blame that on the United States and Ben Bernanke's position, and Ben Bernanke blames the Chinese for the inflation that's going on throughout the world because suddenly China won't let their yuan rise. And well, Bob, who's responsible for what's going on in the world today?
Well, I think what happened with Germany just recently, first of all, they said that they were not going to endlessly pay out money to the other countries that are in trouble. And then, right after that, Mrs. Merkel said, oh, we're going to back the euro as strongly as we can, and we're going to make sure that it doesn't go out of business. So then the Chinese and Japanese come along, which was not expected, and they said, well, we're going to buy some bonds from the countries that have problems, such as Portugal and Greece and Spain, which they did. And those bonds, they yield 6.5%, 7.25%, which is substantially more than what the going market rate is. It's almost double. And of course, that's going to give them better access to the markets in Europe, or at least they think it will, because...
Hold that thought, Bob. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Our guest, Bob Chapman. Go right ahead, Bob.
Because they came to the aid of these countries when they needed more money and had bond issues out. And I think there's something going on here that we don't know about, and that is I think the U.S. said to China and Japan, look, these people are in trouble over there. We don't care if you get rid of some treasuries to loan money over there, and we'd appreciate it if you do that. And they pointed out the benefits thereof. And so I think that's why they went ahead with what they were doing. I think that's why Mrs. Merkel made the comment that she made right after the Germans said, no, we're not going to throw any more money at that. And now they're talking about throwing more money at it. So there had to have been something done that brought about this change of attitude towards lending. I mean, I can't remember of any instance where Japan and China have ever been lenders in Europe before. And so that's why I think they did what they did, what they're saying. And this could, if the Japanese and Chinese go far enough, mend, at least from an initial point of view, the money problem that's needed to fund the countries that are in trouble.
But how can Japan lend money? Japan's, you know, their debt to a gross domestic product rate, their debt is twice what the gross domestic product is. How can they go around lending money? Just how can America go around lending money when 43 cents out of every dollar we spend or give away has to be borrowed? I mean, you can't keep doing this indefinitely, can you? Or are you just putting off the inevitable day of reckoning?
You're right, but they don't care about that. All they care about is, you know, what do we do with these dollars? Now, Japan's problem is basically an internal one. They're sitting on about $800 billion worth of U.S. treasuries and agencies, and the Chinese maybe $1 trillion, something in that neighborhood, so to speak. And it's a good chance for them to get rid of some of that paper. And Japan owes most of the money that it owes, as well as China, to their own citizens.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, Bob is simply pointing out that in Japan, they have a massive national debt, but most of it's loaned to their owed to their own citizens. And certainly China's national debt is owed to their own citizens. They're not going overseas to finance their debt, which is what America has. America, up until a few years ago, was the biggest creditor nation in the world. Now we're the biggest debtor nation that the world has ever seen. And as I said, 40 to 43 cents of every dollar we're spending today is simply borrowed money. Over in Europe, they're saying to the so-called pig nations, why, you can't do this. Here, why, we're just going ahead and doing it. And, of course, what we're doing is fueling inflation throughout the world. I saw where Indonesia now is trying to prevent American money from coming into Indonesia. Right now, of course, Brazil is trying to prevent American money from coming into their country. Switzerland will no longer accept American deposits. Why? Because we are destroying the economy and the stability, the monetary system throughout the world. Why? Because basically we're printing all sorts of money, and it would produce inflation if it stayed here at home. We're sending that money overseas to destroy the economies throughout the world, to drive out commodity prices. One of the major reasons for the revolt over there in Tunisia and Algeria and Egypt, here you've got people living on average $2 a day. And the price of sugar and salt and basic commodities, things you need to live on, the food has doubled. And, of course, in Algeria and in Tunisia, they were calling, give us salt, give us sugar, give us salt, give us sugar. This is what we have wrought throughout the world. We are intentionally and purposely fomenting revolution by driving up food costs. But, ladies and gentlemen, sooner or later, why this comes home to rest. Go ahead, Bob.
the whole monetary syndrome of each country is basically the same, and it's a matter of degrees. There's no country that hasn't been creating money and credit. I mean, you even have the Swiss in the market creating money and credit in order to try to make the Swiss franc go down because it's too strong, and they have having trouble selling their goods. And so it's a worldwide monetary phenomenon. You saw at the Davos meetings of the super rich and powerful that they called for, and we reported this, oh, maybe in May or June, and that was that they want the world to create $100 trillion. And that's over the next 10 years, or $10 trillion a year, to keep the game going. And so, you know, it's like the never-ending fantasy. Like, you know, something positive is going to come out of this. And it's not. But, all they're doing, all of them, is buying time.
But, of course, if you start printing another $100 trillion or just creating a bookkeeping, entries, what you do is you destroy the value of the existing money. People don't understand you can't create money. Money has to have some inherent value behind it. As long as you can create money, that's fine, and you can spend the money. First person who spends it is in good shape, but down the line as it goes into circulation and is multiplied many times over, it destroys the value of the existing monetary system. That's one reason why, of course, over in Europe, they want to stop indexing salaries to inflation. Why? Because they're going to have inflation. That's a way of lowering the wages. And to do the same thing here in the United States, they've stopped indexing our Social Security to inflation. They say there is no inflation for 2 years running. And how can they say that when the prices of food are going up, when the prices of gasoline are going up? Well, there's an old adage that says figures don't lie, but liars figure. And most of those liars are employed by the government. And if they don't simply lie about what's going on, they lose their jobs. Would you agree or disagree, Bob?
Oh, absolutely. And so it's like the never-ending story. They over and over and over continue to create money and credit or swaps or buying treasuries, the different methods that they use of injecting money and credit into the economies of the world. And this is the guaranteed pauperization of the entire world. I mean, stop and think of it for a minute. If they're going to continue to have real inflation of, let's say, 7 or 8% a year. I mean, how long will it take for everybody to lose the buying power of all the money they have, except perhaps in the instance of gold and silver-related assets? So that's what they're trying to do. They, who are creating this, don't care because they have vast wealth, and were they to lose through lost purchasing power, 90 or 95% of what they have, then they would be 5 or 10% ahead of everybody else who lost everything.
Well, because you
and besides, they do have gold and silver as well.
And I think
so
that's what's
so
important.
Like you and I have always said, Stan, what this is all about is taking the economic and financial situation to the lowest common denominator, so people will be forced to accept world government.
And I don't know if you've ever heard any of my interviews with Lindsay Williams. I'm sure you haven't. But Lindsay was talking with this one fellow who he'd been the president of ARCO one time he retired. And that's Atlantic Richfield. And he was talking about the elite and their money or our money. And Lindsay said, what do you mean your money? And, well, our money is gold and silver. I mean, paper money is worth the paper it's printed on. And the American people can't believe that. I mean, you can still take a $20 bill and go down and buy something with it. But certainly when you see other countries saying, like Indonesia now, Brazil, Switzerland, we don't want your money. In fact, the articles are appearing now that certainly in other countries, why the stores are very reluctant to take American dollars. You have to go cash them in for the local currency, go to the bank or someplace, cash them in, because they don't want American dollars. Is this prevalent throughout the world, or is this just beginning to show up, Bob?
Well, it's been that way off and on in different places. But I would say about 2 years, maybe 2.5 years. And it was because of the falling value of the dollar, generally speaking. But now it's changed. Brazil says, if you're going to buy our bonds and make 12.5%, we want half of it, essentially. And they have rules that say that. And countries throughout the world are now telling their shopkeepers, as you pointed out, that we don't want you accepting dollars. And if people want to get rid of dollars to buy things in our country, well, they either have to go to a money changer or they have to go to a bank, and they'll handle it. And as soon as the money changer and the bank get the money, they sell the money forward back into the United States to some agent there. And so they get the money out of the country as quickly as possible.
Well, I think that we're going to increasingly see people not wanting dollars because, of course, they are going to lose their value. How much of the value, how quickly it's going to happen, we don't know. But Ben Bernanke says he's going to get our economy moving by creating inflation. The purpose of our Federal Reserve System was to give us a stable currency and not to give us inflation. But, of course, Ben Bernanke, in his wisdom, says I could stop inflation immediately. We'd have no inflation, 1% inflation. We need 2% inflation. And, of course, what's the real rate of inflation? Because he's simply lying if he says we have only 1% inflation. What's the real rate of inflation, Bob?
Well, there are different ones by different people, but mine is 6.75%, and I expect it to be 14% by the end of the year. And I think that's a fair assessment.
What do you think, Bernanke?
And you can tell, you know, the reason that bond yields rise is because of threats of inflation. It wasn't but 3 or 4 months ago that the U.S. $10 Treasury was yielding 2.20%. Today, it was yielding 3.65%.
There's an old saying.
So there's proof positive that those who are sophisticated in the bond market have sold bonds, making the yields go higher to make those bonds attractive to a buyer.
And there's the old saying that bonds are the vigilantes of inflation. In other words, if you have inflation, why, of course, bonds will respond to that. And by increasing the interest rates goes up, the value of the bond goes down. And there's an excellent way, if you want to make a small fortune out of a large fortune, why, go ahead and invest in bonds at this time in history. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. We're talking about what's really going on in the world economically, and certainly the situation over there in the Middle East certainly is very labile. Tunisia has fallen. Lebanon has fallen. Turkey fell about 4 months ago and went into the radical Islamic camp. Certainly Syria, they're modifying things, the demonstrations in Jordan, the demonstrations in the Sudan, the demonstrations in Yemen and Bahrain, and certainly the demonstrations in Tunisia. All of these things are taking place. I believe it's all engineered, some of it with very good justification. But remember, it takes a lot of money to buy off the military in both Tunisia and Cairo. The military refuses to follow orders. Why? Somebody's put up a lot of money. I wonder who put up all that money to topple all those countries over there in the Middle and Near East. Well, Bob, we've got James calling from South Carolina. Hi, James. How are you doing?
Doing well. Bob, I was listening to you on a program on Saturday morning, and you mentioned...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
And Tom Dewey did not bring that out. Actually, the election you're speaking of is in 1948 election. And, of course, the reason was because the media is controlled in America, James. It was controlled then. It's controlled today. We have freedom of the press, and those who own the press have the freedom to suppress anything they want to. Have you ever read about Operation Keelhaul?
A little bit.
All right, fine. Well, most Americans never even heard of it. We rounded up 6 million Russians at the end of the Second World War. Those had been captured by the Germans or gone over to the Germans. And we sent them back to Russia to be killed. And suddenly 4 million immediately killed. The other 2 million could never get a job. And and they were simply to show the Russian people there was no escape from communism. How could you cover up something like that, a mass crime? The fact that literally, well, I don't want to get off on that. We want to stay with economics. James, call on one of our open lines, and we can talk about these things, okay?
Thank you.
But that's Operation Keelhaul. If anybody wants to look it up, we even have an excellent video on it. Operation Keelhaul. Most Americans have never heard because we have freedom of the press in America. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And so many things to talk about, but we want to talk to about the things that Bob is an expert on, and certainly as we look and see what's happening here in America, as we look and see they've laid off almost a quarter of a million municipal, that's government workers, local government workers, and they're talking about the very real possibility of having to lay off another quarter of a million. What's going to be happening to our cities now that they certainly don't have the tax base, that the value of property is falling. They don't have the income sales tax. The states and federal government are not subsidizing them. The federal government can't keep borrowing money to give to the states so they can live beyond their means. And what's going to happen to all these states and local communities that have massive pension benefits, massive debt that they just can't finance? What's going to happen, Bob?
Well, municipalities can go bankrupt. States cannot. And Mr. Gingrich and his neocon Council of Foreign Relations gang are trying to get a bill together to allow states to go bankrupt so that they can eliminate paying out pensions and the benefits that go with them. I don't know that they would do away with all of it, but they might cut it in half. And at the same time, they probably would have to cut back considerably on employment, because that's what 70% of their cost is, and cut down on other things. And so it would be a big drag on the economy. About 15% of the total workers in the country work for municipal or state entities. So you can see it could have a large impact. And so I think that's where that's headed. That will neutralize any possible gains, and I don't see many gains in employment. And we're going to see that happen. They're just really starting to do their changes, which they have to do. And the real drop-dead date for this is the last day of June. July 1st begins the new fiscal year for most states. And so I think it's going to come together then when everybody's going to know just how bad off these municipalities and states are. And whether legislation will get passed so that the states can cut back on their obligations for pensions and the benefits remains to be seen. I don't know that they can get that passed. And so there's lots of nasty things coming. We've had QE1 and stimulus. That's starting to come through the economy now. And next is QE2. We'll follow that next year. And then if they have a QE3, it'll be the following year. And that means that there's going to be this tremendous drag in the world economy by countries just continuing to create money and credit.
But, of course, the only thing that's really keeping the American economy going now is we've pumped, what about, how much do you think we've actually pumped into the American economy? New money just created, it's not really money, it's credit, but how much have we actually put into the economy so far? Once again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But hold that thought, Bob, we'll get to that as soon as we get back here at Radio Liberty.
Let us swear allegiance.
is Dr. Stan back here, and because we have our guest, Bob Chapman from the International Forecast, and we have Daniel calling from Watsonville. Hi, Daniel. How are we doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. How are you tonight?
I'm doing just fine. Are you listening to us on the local radio or listening to us on the Internet?
Internet.
All right, fine. Do you have a question for Bob?
Yes, I've been monitoring the real estate market just locally here, and it just seems like it just keeps going down and down and down. I'm just wondering if Bob thinks there's ever going to be an end to this, and if it were to end and, say, start to go up again, would it really make any difference due to the devaluation of the dollar?
All right, Bob, did you get the question?
Yeah. First of all, it is going to go lower. The reason why, if for no other reason, is there's just a tremendous inventory. Normally in real estate, there's a 4 or 5 month inventory overhang that is available for sale. My calculations are that figure is 3.1 years right now, and it's going to get a lot worse this year and the following year as well, because the government institutions of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Ginnie Mae, and FHA have been making loans, which are subprime or ALTA loans, and they're doing the same thing that began the crisis in the first place. And, you know, the problem's not going to go away. It's going to get worse eventually because people won't be able to make their payments like we experienced at the beginning of the debacle in real estate. So it's going to get worse. And then we just talked about interest rates, and the U.S. 10 is 3.65 on the yield side, and that's what they base the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage on, and which is about 4.8% approximately. And if rates were to go to 4%, well, we might be looking at 5.25 to 3/8 on a 30-year fixed. Now they get people putting down a very low amount of money now, and that higher rate of interest.
Hold that thought, Bob. Hold that thought. And certainly we have Daniel calling from Watsonville asking what's going to happen with the economy. And Bob says going to happen to the housing market. And Bob says it's going to continue falling because they're lending loans. They're making loans now. They should not be making. They're actually doing the same thing all over again. There's giving loans to people who are not in a position to pay them back. And of course, but you don't have to worry because, of course, the federal government has taken over full responsibility for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. We have a $14 trillion debt. But we've also got the debt for the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac we're going to have to pay. We've accepted we will be responsible for that. Then, of course, the federal government's going to have to help bail out the states if they can't go bankrupt. And then, of course, we're going to, it says the inflation rate goes up. And, of course, we are going to be borrowing money. And, of course, we're having to borrow massive amounts of money and pay off our bonds as they come due. And pretty soon what happens with nations, and Sydney, David Walker, a former head of the GAO, had pointed this out. Eventually, debt doesn't work because what happens is as interest rates goes up, you have to pay more and more and more interest. We have a debt of $14 trillion, and what happens when the interest rate goes to 5%, to 10%, to 15%, to 20%? Pretty soon, all the money that comes in from the all the taxes that are paid to the federal government goes to pay interest on the national debt, and the whole thing collapses. So, Daniel, the housing market is not going to get any better. It's going to get a lot worse, okay?
Yeah, I did want to say that last spring I was forced to sell a family home, and it was a very painful experience. But I had consulted, I'd called Bob prior to the sale, and he said his advice was to sell it. It would continue to go down, and he was absolutely right. I would not have been able to get what I got last spring for today. So
I'm glad, and I'm glad if what we put out here does help you. Anything you want to say before we let you go?
That should do it, Stan.
God bless. Thanks very much. And okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapman. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for Bob. But before we go on, Bob, I want you to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the International Forecaster. And I would simply state that it's just about the best, it is the best source of information on economics that you'll get anywhere in the nation. Go right ahead.
Well, the forecast is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. We publish on Wednesdays and Saturdays by email. It usually runs around 40 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month. For those who are not on the net, everything that you need to know each week is in that publication. You can get a free introductory copy by going to theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, forecaster.com, or to www.intforecaster.com. That's intforecaster.com. If you have a question, and we answer everyone, you can email us at bob@intforecaster.com. That's bob@intforecaster.com, or you can call toll-free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
And you know, it's really very interesting. The Republicans are saying, we are really going to cut. We're going to cut, you know, $27 billion from the congressional budget out of the $1.5 trillion deficit we're having this year. Not only that, we have a program to cut $2.5 trillion from the deficit. Of course, that's over a 10-year period. That's about $250 billion a year. And right now, we're borrowing $1.5 trillion a year. And nobody wants to say we're going to have to do away with all of the government agencies. We've got to do away with the Department of Commerce and Energy and certainly the Department of Transportation. So do we need to do away with the entire EPA government bureaucracy? So much of this is totally counterproductive. It's burdening our people. But we're going to have to massively cut spending on the military. Why do we need 246,000 American troops and contractors and NATO troops to fight 100 members of Al-Qaeda? Logic would tell you that there's no reason for it, but, of course, if you wanted to destroy this nation, do you know a better way to spend this into oblivion? If there's anybody out there in the audience, and I would encourage you to call, if anybody could explain to me why we're fighting in Afghanistan, why we are going to spend, why we have 90,000 American troops, 110,000 contractors, and 46,000 NATO troops to fight what certainly no one argues is only 50 to 100 members of Al-Qaeda, please call in and explain it to me, because I'm not very smart, but I won't ask Bob to explain that. I'm sure he probably could. Under any circumstances, Bob, how are we going to ever bring our national budget back into balance without massive cutting and doing away with a lot of the entitlement programs?
Well, they have no intention in doing so. And that's really the bottom line. And in Afghanistan, they're making $350 billion a year, growing and selling heroin, as well as now, that's 92% of the total for world consumption. And they are now the largest producers of marijuana. And so they're doing very well. And, I'm sure if you've looked hard enough, you'll see pictures of American troops guarding the heroin poppies, and or I should say opium poppies. And I've talked to innumerable people in the military who had a job guarding those poppies. So that's one of the main reasons they're there. That is to make lots of money, and of course at the same time destroy people within population and get rid of them. There's too many people, I think, and they'd like to get rid of something in the order of 60 to 80% of the people in the world. And That's one of the ways they would do that.
Well, you know, what really frightens me more than anything is the fact that it's very obvious that we are behind, that the invisible government is behind all of what's going on over in the Near East and the Middle East. But the fact that Pakistan, Sydney, is going to probably go into the radical Islamic camp, and they have certainly probably at least 100 nuclear weapons, and those nuclear weapons are going to be used for mass extermination over there in the Near East and the Middle East. People really cannot believe that anybody would intentionally foment a massive nuclear war. But explain to me why the military in Egypt and why the military in Tunisia did not rise up and simply put down the riots. And that was because they wanted to topple those governments. They wanted to topple all of the governments. We said they were behind moving Turkey into the radical Islamic camp. And that, of course, is covered in certainly by Paul Williams in his talk on Mr. Gulen. And if you haven't heard his talk, it was given at our October conference. Those tapes or CDs are available. I guess there are only CDs available. You need to get that. You need to understand that we have created the best enemies money could buy. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Bob, what do you see happening to the economy here in the United States during the year 2011? Bill, some people claim there are going to be suddenly a dramatic increase in the price of foodstuffs. You think we'll have 14% inflation by the end of the year? And what will that do to people on a fixed income? Because, of course, they've stopped certainly indexing Social Security to inflation because they say there's no inflation. Now, it doesn't matter, you know, that there is inflation. They say there is none. They're in charge. And after all, most people will believe whatever the government tells them. A few people will believe their lying eyes, but most people will believe there's no inflation because the government wouldn't lie to us, would they? Go right ahead.
Of course they would. Yeah, they've been doing it for a long time. Try 3,000 or 4,000 years. But the non-increase in the COLA for the Social Security recipients as well as those on pensions is murder. And it's you might say, an initial part of a phase-out of the Social Security program. And I think they're going to have to get more abrupt. And what I mean by that is that I think that government is going to have to come out and say, we just can't do this anymore, so we're going to have to cut everybody back 30% or whatever the figure is. And they'll start incrementally, but the initial probably will be fairly strong, and 30% would be fairly strong. And then every year they'll cut it back 5% over a 10-year period, and two-thirds of the benefits will be lost. Never mind the losses and purchasing power. Purchasing power is very, very important. I mean, that's the final analysis. It's the end of the road for the currency. That is, it continues to get lower in value. And in that process, people are starving. And who are the people who are going to be most affected? The old. And as we've discussed earlier, the medical reform plan will assist that by allowing people who have chronic or terminal diseases to be gotten rid of by having these, we call them death panels, and that's really exactly what they are. And so that will be the push in that direction. In fact, for a long time, doctors everywhere, you know, have been given the choice. They know people in bad shape, and if they get other things wrong with them, they just let them pass away. You're better at that, Stan, than I am. You know more about it. But that's the way this is all headed, and I wouldn't want to be somebody 55 or 60 old, years old today who had something wrong with them, who went and had to go before a panel or have them their condition judged, and their condition might even be part of not being able to get enough food to eat properly.
Well, I think people better start saving and certainly investing in gold and silver so they'll be able to have money to go to other countries to get medical care. Because unless something happens, and happens dramatically, if you're elderly and you need surgery, heart surgery, things of that sort, and you're in good shape and you're going to live on for, have a pretty good outlook for a number of years, you're going to have to go elsewhere and you're going to have to be able to afford it on your own. Medicare is going to go. I can remember about 1987, 88, talking to a high government official and asked him what was going to happen with Medicare. And I said, this is not going to work. You know it's not going to work. I know it's not going to work. What's going to happen? And because he said, you don't want to know. This is 1987, 88. And I said, yes, I do want to know. I need to know. And he said, all right. He said, I'll tell you. Eventually, we're going to have a two-tiered health care system. There's going to be one for the rich and one for the poor. We're going to offer a voucher system, and you can buy it, and then you can buy a good insurance policy with that voucher, and you'll have to supplement it because it won't cover the whole thing. Or simply you can stay in the system and get government care, but it'll be inferior care. Well, let's go to John, who's calling from Spokane. But now you know what they're talking about. Certainly, what are we, 22 years later, 23 years later? They're talking about, well, maybe we're going to have to give people a voucher. It's all planned, ladies and gentlemen. They know everything that's going on. They just don't want you to know the long-range plan. Let's go to John calling from Spokane. Hi, John. Do you have a question for our guest?
Hello, Dr. Stand. Yes, I do. Well, this is a hypothetical question. We know that there's been a lot of talk and speculation over valid reasons, I should say, that the dollar could be in trouble. It could either experience hyperinflation or cease to become the reserve currency of the world. But the hypothetical question that I have for Bob is, let's suppose that that were to happen in one or both of those ways, through hyperinflation or the dollar ceasing to be the reserve currency. Let's say a person owned 100 shares of stock in company X. What would happen to that investment should the dollar go bad? Would he still own those shares? I mean, would he still own a portion of that company? Would his shares go to zero? Would they devalue? Would they increase in value? Is there any way of knowing at this point?
Well, what happens usually in an inflationary and even hyperinflationary environment, inflation usually feeds the market higher because inflation is being caused by an increase of money and credit by the Federal Reserve, in this case, which is the only people who can really create inflation. And so you have inflation, and that takes away from the value of the currency. You eventually often get hyperinflation because they go too far with it, and people still have inflation to experience, but on top of it, the value of the loss continues to accelerate. Now, Weimar Germany and Zimbabwe today are two examples of that. And so what you do is you immediately take money and you get rid of it. You buy food, you buy clothes, you buy gold and silver, and buy stocks. But there comes a time as you enter hyperinflation that it ceases to reflect the value of inflation, and the value of shares start to fall. Not gold and silver shares, but everything else. Commodity shares would hold up fairly well, but they would give up a lot of their value. And the final analysis would be a total breakdown of the system, a deflationary depression.
And but John, gold and silver is the one thing that'll stay stand you through this. And Sydney, and remember then, Chris, the value of the stocks goes up, you know, and you're. But of course, then they're going to charge you capital gains on what they've created through depreciating the value of your currency. Isn't that clever? Boy, these guys are just unscrupulous. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Stan. Bob.
Well, Dr. Stan, we've got Mark calling from Columbus, Ohio. Mark, do you have a question for Bob?
Yeah. Hypothetical here. If you had $10,000 to invest in gold and silver.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Thank you all for listening.
Good night. God bless. Well, that was Bob Chapman. And Bob's been around at this for 50 years. I'm entering my 49th year, so he's my senior, actually, by about 2 years. But he's younger than I am, but he was smarter. He got started in this. I didn't get started until I was about 32. Under any circumstances, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is nonprofit. Now, that doesn't mean you get a deduction. You do not get a reduction if you support us. We are not 501c3 because I want to be able to tell you the truth, and churches and 501c3 groups cannot tell you the truth. So, but we are nonprofit. I make no profit out of this, and every year we may make a few dollars or lose a few dollars, but somehow or other God seems to work this thing out without any planning on our part. So if you are out there and you'd like to help us, why you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or you can subscribe to the newsletters, or you can support our advertisers, or you can certainly get some of the products we offer. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Certainly you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to see my talk on the Forbidden Secret and get the syllabus that goes with that. That is the Forbidden Secret. The talk we gave in this last October called The Dark Secret is available in CD. We recommend all the talks that were given. You can get all the talks that are only available on CD, but well worthwhile getting. You can get them at a reduced price if you get them all together. Those are the talks. You can get my talk separately of The Dark Secret. And we'll have the DVD one of these days available. I just watched it the other day, and it certainly puts out the information you need to know, certainly about what is really going on and the supernatural forces behind what's going on. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, supernatural forces. So you need Brotherhood of Darkness. You need the Forbidden Secret and the syllabus. That's a DVD and a syllabus. My talk on The Dark Secret. We have some excellent DVDs. They're called The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, a 3-DVD set. You can get them separately or together. And I have a small part in each one. But they're very professionally done by our good friend Chris Pinto, who works with Cutting Edge Ministries. And you will get fascinating information there on the history of what this is about and about the secret societies that operate here in America. If you haven't seen, of course, Alex Jones' DVD on the Bohemian Grove, you need to get it. We have an excellent 4-tape set on the Super Secret Society, the Skull and Bones. We actually have their membership list published by Skull and Bones and information on this satanic society. Yes, and of course, it's provided us with two presidents, the first one, George W. Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, on September 11th of the year 2000, I'm sorry, on the September 11th of 1990, September 11th, 1990, gave a speech where he talked about the New World Order. 11 years later to the day was, of course, the date of the attack on the World Trade Center. This was a fallacious attack. Nothing as it occurred to be, because six of the hijackers are alive and well over in the Middle East, and you can pick those information up certainly on the internet. Six of the hijackers who were killed that day are alive and well. I may be dense, but I just can't figure out how that happened. We need to get Richard Gage's excellent DVD on the 9-1-1 attack. It's called 9-1-1. The truth about what happened. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. If you can teach people 911 is a lie, you will change their lives. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish. And I asked Barry to come on with us tonight, even though it's terribly late back where he is. It's midnight. But we're living, and I believe, in the most dangerous time of my lifetime. And so the events are taking place today that will change the course of the world and bring about a one world order, a new world order. In fact, Al Jazeera has been actually broadcasting articles that say exactly that. Al Jazeera, the Arab television network, supposedly controlled by the radical Islamists. It's my opinion. It was initially established by MI6, as was this whole incredible Islamic movement. We know that the Muslim Brotherhood was financed for many years by MI6 and then by the CIA. I don't know whether Barry would agree or disagree with that. I think he'd probably agree with me that Hamas, this terrorist Islamic movement, certainly has the fingerprints of the CIA and the Mossad on it. We'll ask Barry about that, whether he would agree or disagree. But under any circumstances, I've asked Barry to come on and give his impression of what is going on over there in the Middle East. And I'm not suggesting in any way that Barry endorses any of my views on this. I want to know what he thinks about what's happening in Egypt, what's happening certainly in Lebanon, what's happening in Jordan, what's happening in Tunisia and Algeria, and certainly in Yemen and Somalia. The whole of the Near East is, and this has only happened, you know, in the last 3 or 4 weeks. The whole of the Near East is changed and altered and will never be the same again. Barry Shamish, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, I'm going to answer your Hamas question. Everyone in Israel knows that this was a bipartisan agreement. It was Rabin and Shamir. Shamir, I think, was defense minister under Begin. It doesn't matter how it happened. Rabin and Shamir needed a balance to the PLO. And they felt that a religious group offering some opposition would be good for Israel.
Now, you're talking about Hamas, the formation of this terrorist group, Hamas, that's lobbing missiles into southern Israel. So Hamas was actually the opposition. This Islamic terrorist movement was actually financed with the help of the CIA and the Mossad. Would that be fair to say?
I don't know about CIA.
All right, at least the Mossad?
The Israeli government.
Oh, the Israeli government. Oh, okay, fine. Go ahead.
It wasn't a secret operation. This was a known public strategy, and there was nothing under the table about it. The PLO, we didn't have a peace with the PLO. They were a big headache. So they figured, let's give some money to see some young clerics and have an opposition party. I hear
you. Well, they certainly got a very effective opposition party, didn't they?
Yeah, they got that in droves.
All right, fine. Well, what's your take on the other things that are going on over there?
Going to be interrupted? And this is a long discussion coming up.
All right, fine. Well, then, of course, we'll let you just hang out back on that for just a moment or two as we analyze, of course, what's going on. In fact, I really would like all of our listeners to hear what you have to say. And we've got a 3-minute break. Do you have something else you could put in that 3 minutes?
We're up to the... All right, let's get started. 3 minutes.
All right, fine. Hang on. We'll be back here in just a moment with Barry Shamish, an investigative reporter from Israel. Fascinating information. Barry, go right ahead and get started.
Yeah, well, we're going to start with something you know about, but I think we have a new listening audience, and they should know about it as well. Did you get hold of Elad?
I left a message. I never got a call back. I think I got his son, and they were supposed to give me a call. I haven't heard from them.
I'll email him tomorrow.
All right, thanks.
Elad was on my radio show last week, Elad Pressman. He runs a serious political news group, well, website in Israel, and he threw it out, actually, that he was receiving reports from England. And by the way, he said they were very credible. They came from the Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph, that the United States was the force behind the fall of Mubarak, that they are the ones who've been planning this insurrection, and it was not a popular insurrection. It was planned. Actually,
I have that article out of the Telegraph. Fascinating, yes, absolutely.
Well, again, this WikiLeaks is really just breaking the diplomatic silence of so many things. It's a blessing, this WikiLeaks. But let's just look at what the Daily Telegraph got from the WikiLeaks. Look, you have to recall that, what can you say? The United States has been backing financially the leaders of the Egyptian uprising, planning a regime change for the last 3 years. We don't have to do a dance around this. Look, the WikiLeaks in the Telegraph explained that a young Egyptian dissident, was paid to attend a U.S.-sponsored summit for activists in New York.
And he was paid by the United States to go to this meeting, wasn't he?
Who else?
All right. Well, we want to make sure that the audience out there understands that we've been financing the opposition to Mubarak all the time. We've been financing Mubarak. You finance both sides. That way nobody can figure out what's going on.
Well, this Telegraph article just explained the extent to which America was offering support for the opposition in Egypt, while publicly praising Mubarak as an important ally. I mean, you want to talk about a double-edged sword and being stabbed in the back. That's what was done to Mubarak.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, yeah, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry was simply talking about an article in the London Telegraph. Incidentally, we have that available. We will make it available if anybody wants it. Simply pointing out that the WikiLeaks had revealed that the American government had been financing the opposition to Mubarak for 3 years. In fact, there was a young man, a member of the opposition party in Egypt, and the American State Department, some government agency, had actually financed him to go to New York, where he was working with other anti-Mubarak activists, planning the overthrow of Mubarak's government there in Egypt, and being financed by, we finance Mubarak, we finance his opposition, and we are financing and planning on this overthrow for a long period of time. This did not happen accidentally, and because you know this, because the military has been paid off, they're not intervening, they're going to let this process take place, and of course, President Obama keeps saying now, of course, you know, Mubarak should move out immediately, you know, remember your legacy, get out of the country now. He's been a dictator for a long period of time, but he's saying if I leave, there's going to be chaos in Egypt. You've got to have a stable government. And Obama is saying, oh, remember your legacy, get out, knowing full well that, of course, when that happens, why there'll be chaos in Egypt, exactly what America wants. But because we can't tell the American people, we can't tell the Egyptian people who are pawns in the game, just like we are all pawns in the game. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, the main WikiLeak was a dispatch sent by Margaret Scobie. She was the U.S. ambassador to Egypt. It was sent on the last day of 2008, which means it was sent to the Condoleezza Rice, is who it was sent to. It was sent to the Secretary of State. And keep that in mind. This is not an Obama, it's just Obama-Bush, if you want to look at it that way, but it goes way beyond that. This has been going on for a few years now, this planning for this uprising. Apparently very carefully planned uprising. Now, Scobie writes, the U.S. Secretary of State, again Rice, and it was a, well, she said that this was a confidential, cable, whatever you call them. It was called a dispatch, but she says it's so secret it can never be revealed, and all this. This is all inside the cable, no less. Now, she said, now we know who the activist is, even though the name isn't in here. He heads the April 6th movement of, for change in Egypt. And go to Google, write in April 6th Egypt, and you'll get their web pages. They have 70,000 in the last 3 years out of nowhere. This activist who was paid by the State Department to come to a summit in New York, that's also in this WikiLeaks, had succeeded in organizing all kinds of opposition forces. And here, I'll just give you the plan that Margaret Scobie has in her